to play a trick on a kid, and it almost backfired. And I said, oh, I'm in trouble. It was here in the church, and during the offertory, the ushers got some family members, and they came up with the bread and the wine and the basket containing the money. And there was a little kid with her teddy bear. So I collected the wine to give to the other server, collected the bread and the basket, and I asked her, okay, can I also have the teddy bear? And I collected it. And she was like, that I gave it back to her. And then during communion, I saw her came to Dennis. And when Deacon Dennis blessed her, she had her teddy bear. She kept it. So please spread the news. Tell the kids that Father Clement loves blessing teddy bears. Let them bring teddy bears. I don't collect teddy bears, okay, Grace? All right, so I won't play that trick again. It almost backfired. Because most likely they go back and say, you see that priest? When you take your teddy bear to church, he collects it and keeps it on the altar. All right, I won't do that, okay? I'll bless you, and I'll bless your teddy bear, okay? All right. Recently, I've been meditating on the Gospels, and I discovered that Jesus is the greatest psychologist ever. He understands human nature to the core. And most of his teachings are meant to expose those defense mechanisms that influence us to reject God and undermine our salvation. So he understands our nature and what we can do and how we respond and how we react. And so most of his teachings, he gives his teachings, some are very hard, some are very difficult, but he knows us through and through. And he's doing that to help counteract those natural instincts that we have that cause us to reject God and to undermine our salvation. Every human person has a natural default to assume he or she is too good to die or die a tragic death or get involved in scandal. If I ask my friend Tom, what kind of death do you want to experience when you want to go back home? I know Tom will tell me, I want to sleep and then just go to my father. Nobody would want to die on a plane crash or an accident. So that's a natural default. That's a wish. But sometimes it becomes an assumption. I am too good to die a tragic death or get involved in scandal. Unfortunately, this is how we think. It is based on these erroneous assumptions that Jesus wants us in today's gospel to look at the tragedies around us as eye-openers to our own vulnerability and weaknesses. Let's begin with the first point, vulnerability. In the past 4 weeks, we heard of some tragedies happening near and far. I'm sure you heard about the Ethiopian airline crash that killed about 156 passengers on board, and the shooting, the killing at Christchurch in New Zealand. Some guy went to two different mosques and shot and killed 50 people and injured another 50 guys. And also, we also heard about the unfortunate flood in Nebraska, my second home. I was in Nebraska last year, August, and I was around the countryside, and I know what happened to these people. They live close to a very big river there, and my friend is a pastor in one of the parishes there in Verdigris, and I saw what happened. A lot of people lost their homes, and their many are out of business. And we also heard about maybe some of you, that the herdsmen are still killing Christians back in Nigeria. And just last week I saw on the news, one of our priests, a priest, was kidnapped, and he was found after some days in the wood. He was dead, and his body was almost decomposing. And I heard that at the funeral, people were just weeping. So we hear about all these tragedies happening around us, and we begin to ask a lot of questions. And I want to frame our reaction to us. Some of us reacted and something like this. When we heard it, we said, oh my goodness, this is very sad. And then we say that God grant them eternal rest. And some people said, holy crap, why on earth would these innocent people die such a horrible death? And I know some of us said, this is awful. What is this world turning into? And maybe some people said, I know Satan is at work again. And I know some of my friends will say, can't this government be proactive for once? This could have been prevented if this administration is serious about the threat of global warming. And some of us will say, oh my goodness, when will God put a stop to all this evil in the world? And so on and so forth. These reactions, this response are very genuine, they are very necessary. But I think Jesus would expect us to also ask ourselves this most important question when we hear about tragedies. He would want me to ask myself, if I were among those victims, those who were killed, would I have been ready to face God's judgment? That's what Jesus was trying to teach the people in today's gospel. You've heard about Pilate killing these guys and using their blood and mingling it with the sacrifice. You've heard about the Torah collapsing and killing these innocent guys. Friends, what I want you to do is that think about if you were one of those victims, would you have been ready to face the judgment of God? So as we respond in these other different ways, Jesus wants us to also consider thinking about this reality. And I want us to close our eyes for a moment and think about it. If I was one of those victims that died in the plane crash or was at the mosque that this guy killed people, if I was one of those victims, would I have been ready to face the judgment of God? Would I have been regretting today that confession I was supposed to make that I was skipping off, it would have saved me? Or that affection for a particular sin that I have that I'm not ready to give up could have been an obstacle to my eternal life? Would I have been ready? Would you have been ready? So Jesus is saying, friends, death is certain, judgment is real. There is a judgment coming. It's coming by and by. Are you ready for that day to come, my brothers? Are you ready for that day to come, my sisters? In a time like this, we need a Savior to be our guide. In a time like this, We need a Savior to be alive. 'Cause nations fighting one another, Muslims killing many Christians, and Christians killing many Muslims, and brothers hating one another, and sisters hating one another, and children fighting their own parents. So think twice, don't lose heaven, heaven. Think twice, don't lose heaven, heaven. So there is a judgment coming. It's coming by and by. So are you ready for that day to come, my brothers? Are you ready for that day to come, my sisters? So think twice, don't lose heaven, heaven. Let us speak about the second point, weaknesses. So Jesus says that we are vulnerable, we are weak. So we want to speak about the second point, our weaknesses. Some years ago, when I was still a seminarian training to become a priest, and I studied theology, like I said some time ago, in the capital of my country, in Abuja, and one of the best seminaries, National Missionary Seminary of St. Paul. And we had a lecturer for the Cosmos who was here in the United States for a long time, and he taught us church history. And so one of those days that he was giving us lecture, he said something to us. It was at that time when the scandal in the United States came up very heavily, and people were devastated, and we were all worried in the seminary and all that. So he told us, because some of the MSP priests were involved, and some of his contemporaries and classmates. So he told us that, listen, I know that you are all devastated and surprised and angry with some of these priests who are even from our own seminary. But he said, I knew these guys when we were all studying in this same seminary many years ago. And many of them were very holy, very dedicated seminarians. And at that time, none of us ever imagined that Father C or Father B would ever get involved in a scandal or in a thing that is so terrible that people are so angry and people are so injured. And so he told us that we should be very, very careful, very, very vigilant, very, very honest with our vocation and with our relationship with God, and ultimately about our salvation. That some of us here, if we are not careful, we might likely get involved in the same kind of scandal. And so that stuck in my mind. We are very weak. That's what Jesus is saying. St. Augustine warns us, he says, there is no sin or crime committed by another which I myself am not capable of committing through my weakness. And if I have not committed it, it is because God in his mercy has not allowed me to, and has preserved me in his good. I shared that truth and that sentiment with one of my friends, and she was not very comfortable. We said, no. I told her, you and I are capable of committing any kind of evil, save the grace of God. I know that despite the progress I have made in the spiritual life, I know deep within me that I have the tendency, there is likelihood that if I am not careful and continue to remain in God's grace, I am capable of committing any kind of scandal. And that is the truth that Jesus wants you and I to know. That you and I are capable of every evil. And what we need to do is to be consistent in our relationship with Him. Do not get tired of coming to Mass. Do not get tired of receiving the sacrament of reconciliation. Do not get tired of anything that keeps you in the state of grace. Because when you get tired and you give the evil one opportunity, he's gonna ruin your life. That's the message. And when he comes to ruin your life, it might come at the time when you won't have a second chance. That's what Jesus is saying. He's very passionate about our salvation. And so, brothers and sisters, let us listen to what Jesus says to St. Paul in his first letter to Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Jesus says that my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. In the second reading today, St. Paul says, therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. It is the grace of God, it is our cooperation with God's grace that keeps us in his love, that protects us from this ultimate disaster, that we forfeit our salvation in Christ. And so I invite you to ask God and pray to God with me this morning that God will give us the grace to keep following him, to keep sustaining our relationship with him, that we need his abundant grace. Give us the grace to follow, abundant grace to follow. I need your grace to follow. Your grace is enough for me. Give us the grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. I need your grace. I need your grace to follow. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. I need the grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. I need the grace. I need your grace to follow. Your grace is enough. Your grace is